KBOO Portland. The time is now 6 p.m. and coming up next is a membership drive edition of Bread and Roses. Stay tuned.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by an anonymous donor. Lunch was provided by Savali Thai, a family-run restaurant serving lunch and dinner from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day on 4806 Southeast Stark Street. Dinner was provided by Sweet Basil Thai Cuisine, a restaurant serving curry, stir-fry, and seafood at 3135 Northeast Broadway Street.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the upcoming screening of Gaining Ground on Sunday, September 25th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. This film about growing food, empowering communities, and changing lives shows the obstacles to creating change, but it also points the way toward hope. The increasing threat of genetically engineered food and the destruction of local communities can make us feel powerless to effect change. Gaining Ground, a new documentary film, is an intimate view of rural and urban farmers embracing this challenge. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Sunday, September 25th at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. I'm your host tonight, Cheryl Green. Our engineer is Devin, and I am so excited to be talking to award-winning independent media artists Elaine Vasquez and Barbara Bernstein, who run the Media Project, a local organization supporting independent media makers. Bread and Roses is a collective of women and non-binary radio activists who give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression, all this, and we have fun. You can connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can access our podcasts and share feedback or show ideas. Like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, and we're on Twitter at Bread Roses Radio. We always welcome new collective members, and if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org or call KBOO at 503-231-8032, extension 213. Elaine Vasquez and Barbara Bernstein premiered their food justice film, Gaining Ground, in late September 2015, and I can't wait to find out how it's doing and what kind of calls to action the film is creating. Now, Barbara, I know you have a show here at KBOO. Both of you, welcome to Bread and Roses. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's just start off, if I'd love to have you two introduce yourselves in your own words and maybe talk a little bit about the issues that you're most passionate about covering in your work.
I'm a film. My name is pronounced Velasquez, and that's okay. Anyway, I'm a filmmaker. I've been doing it for 40 years. This is my second feature. The others, I've done a lot of gay rights, small ballot measures to fight against OCA, good old OCA.
Oregon Citizens Alliance.
Yeah, wherever they are. And other ballot measures that protected the environment. I've done my first long doc, actually I've done three, was about women. And my first intent was to get on broadcast TV people that had not been covered, and that was the thing about older women, and I guess I'm now an older woman. And what, Barbara, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? So my films have been, just a second, filmed and broadcast on PBS nationally, won a lot of awards. Some of the pieces that Barbara and I did that were pro-gay or that were shown at the Museum of Modern Art, we've had a lot of visibility.
Also, I want to mention Elaine's second film, which you didn't mention, which was a really wonderful film called Moving Mountains, about the Yumian tribe from Laos, from the hills of Laos, who came as refugees to the United States after the Vietnam War because they had worked with the CIA. And so they were persona non grata in Laos. And it was a very wonderful film and did very well. And we traveled to a bunch of different film festivals. And it was,
It was PBS.
And it was on PBS. And I did the sound for that and did also compose some music. This project is the first one where Elaine and I are more full collaborators, technically or officially. She's the director, I'm the producer. And my role was basically to find a lot of the people that were in the film. And Elaine's role was to use the craft of movie making that she's so good at to put all the pieces together and make it into a film. Before this, I've been doing radio documentary forever, and I don't know how many documentaries I've produced over the years that have been broadcast very widely, and we've both won awards doing our stuff, and that's what we've been doing up until we started Gaining Ground, which we started 5 years ago.
Yeah, documentary film is a long process, isn't it?
Especially if you want it to be intimate, especially if you want to gain trust. And then there were some stories, that things that happened during our filming that we just had to follow it until the end, and to follow the fires. Anyway, a lot of GMO. There were things that happened that we just had to follow. So it took a little longer.
And actually, we started, Elaine was kind of on my case, because the first year we were sort of filming and really not filming and just kind of finding our way and interviewing our friends and anybody we met in the supermarket, or whatever. But not really, but we were didn't really have a sense of where we were going. We sort of thought we wanted to do something about urban ag, which was kind of interesting. But as we started actually finding our way, we realized that we wanted to do something which was much broader than just urban ag. And so after about a year of finding our way, we found that the people that were going to be in the movie, and then it really started honing into these three different farms, two in the countryside in Oregon and one in Richmond, California.
Yeah, yeah. And we will get much more into the film in just a moment, because we are going to take a moment to talk about our Pledge Fall Drive and why it is so important and wonderful for folks to donate to KBOO. Barbara, do you have a quick word why you love KBOO so much?
I love KBOO because it's authentic and real, and it relates to my life, and it doesn't feel like it's put in a can and sent from Washington, D.C. to Portland.
And no GMOs.
And no GMOs.
If you are just tuning in, this is Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Cheryl Green, and tonight we're talking to Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez about their independent media work around a lot of different social justice issues, and we're focusing in on their film, Gaining Ground. So we started talking a little bit about the movie, but let's talk more about it. You know, you had a really riveting conversation on the Health Watch show here at KBOO last September, right around this time, around the film's premiere. And I really hope that all of tonight's listeners will go back and listen to that episode, because you really unpacked a lot of the stories of the people in the film and what they're working for. So that was so much fun to listen to. But yeah, let's really dive into the movie. Gaining Ground is a feature-length documentary, really looking at personal stories of some farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practices to feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. You're looking at urban farmer activists in inner city Richmond, California, a small family farm in rural Oregon converting from commodity dairy to chemical-free produce, and a large farm in the Willamette Valley transitioning from grass seed to organic grains. So it's a nice mix of the different sizes and locations that people are in. I really am interested in food justice and food in general. Food is so yummy and great to have around and wonderful, and I wish everybody had free food all the time. And so I've seen a lot of food films and food documentaries, and, you know, talking about Monsanto and Big Ag and all these things, and things that you also covered in your film. A lot of films out there around food and health, but yours doesn't stop there with individual people's health. You spend a lot of time really unpacking food justice, and especially racial and environmental justice, which really struck me when I got to watch the film the other night. So I'd love to hear from y'all about your interest in facing these issues head on around race, ethnicity, class, and gender, and not just sticking with, you know, individuals and their stories around health.
Oh, we were very fortunate. Barbara found Doria Robinson, who's head of Urban Tilth in Richmond, California, which has a refinery, the Chevron Richmond refinery right over their town. And the woman who runs it, Doria Robinson, it's a wonderful program. It's not just that food is yummy. Their food, they have no access to decent food or food desert. Safeway was closing everything. She's got 13 gardens, and they're in the schools. And the people who run this program are the youth, these wonderful young people in a very hard, violent, kind of stark environment, because they're underserved, classic, like Chevron doesn't care. And so it's a very, very inspirational program. I mean, as far as, you know, what she does. And she is so wonderful. You know, you find somebody who can not only do something wonderful, but talk about it. And she brought in the racism and the lack of education and the kind of fight that then they're doing it, and she's empowering these young people who had no sense of purpose at all to lead their communities and try to talk to power. And she is the reason that all that inclusive thing about how their education and how unfair their, you know, what they're given.
Well, a thing that's amazing about Doria, we took a while to unpeel what made Doria Doria. And she had mentioned that she had traveled around the world, and she had experienced an awful lot of very positive things. We found out that she had gone to Hampshire College, and it made a lot of sense because she did a lot of things that you kind of imagine people at Hampshire College do. For people who know what that is, it's a very progressive school. It's kind of like the Reed College of Massachusetts, and probably more progressive even than Reed. So I thought, well, okay, you went to Hampshire College, that explains why you do circles and you do all this process and you're into yoga and you're into all this, you know, good food. How did you get to Hampshire College? And so a couple interviews later, we found out about that she basically had dropped out of John F. Kennedy High School in Richmond, which was a really tough school. She described just how tough it was, and wandered around for about a year, and then a friend of hers turned her on to this really wonderful alternative school in Berkeley, and she found out she could get a scholarship, and she actually worked two jobs and with a scholarship got through the school and then was recruited to Hampshire. So
And worked her way through
Hampshire, and took 5 years to get through Hampshire, and I mean had a hard time because she had had such a bad education until she got to Maybeck High School in Berkeley. But then the big question was, why did you come back to Richmond? Because people said to her, why'd you come back to Richmond? This place is really hard and difficult, and couldn't you do better elsewhere? And she said that this is the front line and somebody's got to hold it. And she saw that she had the skills. At one point, she said to us, well, I could have been in San Francisco or Oakland, but there's a lot of people like me there. I needed to come back to Richmond, which is where she's from. She's, third generation Richmond
at
resident?
Least.
Yeah.
You know, her family lives like down the block. She's living in her aunt's house. It's very personal. It's very...
And we actually met her mother at one of the events. And so that's... she's a really powerful person to have, and I feel like I lucked into her by reading an article that she was quoted in online about urban ag, actually, and figured out how to get a hold of her, emailed her immediately. She said, let's talk. I called her. We had this amazing conversation. Then she wasn't as easy to track down for the next 4 years. I mean, it was really hard to connect with her sometimes because she's really busy. But every time we met with her, she just opened up. And I mean, Elaine talks a lot about how it was a real gift for her to just share with us.
She let us in. You know, like I felt like you were these two white filmmakers from Portland, and she opened up and trusted us a lot. and then there are her people that are running the organ. I mean, it's just it's very inspirational.
Yeah, and you. What's really nice is about what she's doing is that she's not an outsider. She came back to the community she grew up in, and you know when outsiders like to come in and be white saviors and save the day, things don't usually go so well because you're not respectful of the culture that's already there. But on a slightly different note, we're going to take another short break to hear. More about why it's so important to donate to KBOO and become a member, and then we'll come back and have more conversation with Barbara and Elaine.
Yeah. Urban tilth, grow your own, you know what I'm saying?
Watch it.
Get down
watch
and dirty
it.
With it.
Watch it grow.
Yeah. If you
watch
grow it,
it, watch it.
They're gonna eat it.
Yeah.
Watch it. Watch it, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it, watch it, watch it grow, yeah. Watch
when we first started that garden with just a few beds, somebody was like, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And you know, like, you're just gonna trash it. Nobody wants to eat that food. It's out here. 6 years later, 42 beds now. The food's constantly being eaten. And we were told not to do it.
Back when we milked cows, they asked what you were, and if they couldn't smell it on your boots and already know what you were, and you told them, they go, oh, okay, and that was about the end of the conversation. But nowadays, you say you're a farmer, well, what do you grow? And then you say fruits and vegetables without the use of chemicals, and all at once, there's a crowd.
He's been a chemical farmer for as long as I've been an organic farmer, and his wife has been on him for 16 years they've been married to get rid of the chemicals and grow some food.
I've never been comfortable growing lawns and golf courses when there's a worldwide food shortage.
We are grass seed farmers, and by damn it, we're going to be grass seed farmers. We're not going to switch over to organic farming, especially organic farming. My gosh, you know, I have to live in this community.
We live in the classic food desert. There's a lot of concentration of people who are having a hard time, families that are in disarray, a lot of struggles with drugs and violence. We have a grocery store. The other grocery store is just about to move out. Safeway is about to move out.
Maybe people have to change their eating habits. Maybe they got to quit eating tomatoes in December and bananas year round. I mean, you could live on it. You just got to quit wanting so much. And if the consumers could get that mindset, then I think we could get this valley back into something edible.
When we first came on board with planting organic food crops, I would try to avoid the coffee shops as much as I could and other farmers because I just couldn't take it in. It was just a constant harassment. Well, what do they have you doing now? What do those women have you doing now out there?
Some people ask me, you know, why are you having an apprentice program and you're training all these kids to be farmers, you know? Like, you know, are they really gonna get a job being a farmer? And I'm like, you know, that's actually not the point. Growing food from a seed to a fruit is the best project management training you can possibly get.
There continues to be a shelter in place for Richmond, North Richmond, and San Pablo due to a fire that was first reported this evening around 6:30 at the Chevron refinery in Richmond.
Sirens started to go off everywhere and I realized that the refinery was on fire.
You have some of the largest seed companies in the world doing their best to destroy our market. I just wish they would leave us the hell alone.
Before the fire, talking about environmental justice wasn't a part of our main mission. And then the fire happened, and all of that destruction, all of that pain, and the response of the company of just really not caring. It was just important for us to really hold this ground and say, this is sacred. It shouldn't be polluted. This is where we come from.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, KBOO, your community radio station. I'm Cheryl Green here on Bread and Roses with Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez. And we just heard the trailer for Gaining Ground, the film that we've been talking about tonight. And I think in the trailer we heard from Doria Robinson, Vicky Hertel, Willow Coberly, Harry Stalford. Did I get all the names?
And Harry McCormick as well.
Okay, great. And Harry McCormick. So some of the people featured in the film. And when we left off just a moment ago, we had started talking about race and the danger of the white savior coming into a community like Richmond, and that's not actually what happened. I'd love to pick up there and talk a little bit about urban tilth before we move on to the Oregon farmers.
Well, let me make it clear that Richmond is a people of color community, and Doria Robinson is African American, and the community, the people she hires, everybody she gives the jobs, summer jobs and jobs to, and apprentices, are all people of color. I mean, there are some white people there, but it's an underserved community of color.
And actually, Urban Tilth was originally started by a white guy with a great vision, and he sent out an email to a whole lot of people about wanting to start this thing, which became Urban Tilth. And Doria was one of the people that came to the first meeting and became a volunteer, and I'm not sure how long it took, but within a short period of time, she was the head of the organization. And I think, this white guy, actually, I think that's what he wanted to do. It was his idea, but he wanted the community to come and take it over, and that's what they've done. And it really is a project that's really owned by the community. And it's an amazing rainbow of people. I mean, there's a lot of African Americans, there's a lot of Latinos, there's some Asians, there's a handful of white people, and it's very representative of the community of Richmond.
Great, yeah. Sorry, a question started coming into my head, saw on my face that it just left.
Well, I would like to make sure that we talk about the other farms, the Oregon farmers who are taking on the challenge of caring about local, feeding our people local healthy food. We met Vicki Hurdle, our very first person. Barbara and I kind of discovered her together. The farmers were having lobbying at the
state capitol
to get more rights for small farmers. And Vicki Hurdle and her son Chris Hurdle were there. And you know, we just thought, this woman is amazing. She's just straight out flat talker. She's the head of the farm, so we did our interview. She was our first interview that's in the film, and she was just wonderful, and so was Chris.
Actually, we filmed them at this event in the rotunda of the Capitol. It was really noisy. I didn't have a good microphone. Elaine didn't have a good camera. It was like you could barely hear the interview over all the din. Shortly after that, I got a good mic. Elaine got a really great camera. We went back to their farm, and Vicki made jokes about how, they're here again. But she was very supportive and very, again, like Doria, very welcoming. And we filmed them harvesting. We filmed them planting. We filmed them at every stage, transplanting. At one point, Vicki almost invited us to come, spend the night and get up early in the morning and go through the whole thing. But her husband, Charlie, wanted a little more privacy than Vicki did. So we didn't do that, but we got there crack of dawn. We also followed Chris one time, I guess at least, to the farmer's market, started in Verbort, which is outside of Forest Grove, and followed him into Portland to the Hillsdale Farmer's Market and watched him set up. And he's still there at the Hillsdale Farmer's Market, and I go there every week. And he was reminiscing with me the other day about how he missed us being there filming him when he was setting up.
Oh, wow. That's really nice. And it sounds like a similar thing happened with Doria, that she was really open and really happy to be having this very empowering, hopeful work being documented.
Well, Vicki is just straight out. She's wonderful, and she speaks. I don't know if you think what a farmer. I thought at first she was a lesbian because the way that she looks, but a lot of country women look like that.
We told her that, and she said that a lot of people have thought she was a lesbian.
Well, and her family, they've been farming there for five generations, and right now she's running it with her son and her husband and some employees. They have a family, Mexican family that has worked for them forever. They pay well, they treat their employees. It's very important to them.
And they grow about 100 varieties of vegetables. And while they're not certified organic, they are completely non-chemical, non-pesticide. Vicki says that they're probably healthier and cleaner than organic because there's these loopholes in organic certification. And they have their own set of standards. And we've been out to the farm enough to know how clean their growing is. And they do cover crops, they do crop rotation. They work a lot with the insects, I mean, the good insects and the good birds and raptors who come and eat the mice. And so they basically let nature take its course a lot in helping them farm. They farm with nature as opposed to fighting nature.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when they mentioned, you know, we keep the flowers over here on the edge to bring in the good bugs, and then the birds come out, you know, when we're tilling, or I probably said the wrong word there, but when they're working in the field, the birds come out because they're rustling up all the little vermin and bugs. And it just, my jaw dropped. It just made me so happy to hear about that. And it's, that's something that really stands out in this film too, is, you know, it's not all these, all this text on the screen with the statistics and the scientists coming in with their soil samples. The whole thing is so personalized. And yet at the same time, you can see that it's not specific just to them. They're talking about issues that are issues everywhere. But then when you have this personal element, it just makes it so watchable. And when it was over, I thought, that was 5 minutes. Where'd the time go? Because you're just so getting to know the people so well.
Well, that's actually one of Elaine's strengths, is that Elaine is really good at drawing out personal stories, and she's done that in all of her films. And I'm a little bit more of the intellectual, statistics, science person. So I thought it kind of worked out with the two of us together.
Yeah.
And then there's Stalford Seed Farms and Green Willow Grains. And you see the story. The film is a lot about change, the bravery, and the, what these people are just taking on. You know, going against the grain, against big ag. And Willow is an amazing person. Willow Coberly, who wanted to grow food. I mean, talking, Harry is, at first I was afraid to interview him. He sounded like a monster.
Harry Stalford, that is.
Harry Stalford, her husband. I mean, he's just really, we're grass seed farmers. And he's wonderful. He's wonderful. And he's really transformed. He's used a lot less chemicals on the commodity farm, and then they've been expanding and doing very, very well on the grains. And Willow has developed the seeds that she got from, fortunately, some fortuitously from UC Davis, and has, you know, developed them to our climate. And it's just, there's information there about how food is grown. We're so disassociated from, you know, walking to a supermarket and don't think a thing about it. And this film made me, I learned an awful lot. I wasn't interested in the subject matter when Barbara wanted to do this. Barbara's an environmental, mainly subject matter person. And she was, I said, who wants to be a farmer? I mean, I'm from New York City. I couldn't imagine such hard work, at which it is, but they love it. These farmers absolutely love what they're doing, and it's such a gift.
Well, the other thing that we really wanted to do was to connect people with the farmers that grow their food. And I think by telling these personal stories, it helps people to understand the human beings that are providing their food and how important it is to support them. And I think that's kind of at the center of really rebuilding local food systems as opposed to having everything global, so that you appreciate why you don't want to buy asparagus from Chile in the middle of the winter or strawberries in December, and understanding the seasons and what season produces what kind of food, and to appreciate the people that are providing that for us.
Definitely. So, I start picturing the food as you say it, and then oh yes, we're conversing about this. It was interesting, Harry
Stalford's
journey, because he was so opposed to this at the beginning. It was fun watching his journey, but his journey really was driven by his wife Willow. And mm-hmm. So when we come back from the break in a moment, I want to dive into this idea of there were so many strong women in the film and strong mm-hmm. people of color, mm-hmm. which you don't often get in documentaries. So we'll come back to that after the break. We're going to take a moment to talk about how wonderful and enriching it is for you when you donate to KBOO and become a member. This is Bread and Roses. I'm Cheryl Green, here talking with Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez. And right before we heard about donating, we just were about to start talking about how many strong women and people of color you have in this movie. So let's dive in.
Well, you know, we didn't plan it that way. I mean, it just, that's that, the, those were the stories. It was like, Vicky is just the leader of the farm, and she's really likable, and, you know, it's obvious her power. And then with Harry and Willow, we interviewed Willow first, and that's when we talked about how scary Harry was and recalcitrant.
Actually, he was just a myth. We didn't actually meet Harry until several months later.
Yeah, and when we interviewed him, he was so welcoming and such a pussycat. I mean, for us, maybe not for Willow, you know, but anyway. So, and then with Doria, Doria was just like a gift. I mean, Barbara was looking for someone, urban agriculture, and she found Doria, and on a first conversation, it was so obvious this woman is amazing. She's so articulate, and we got more into personal stuff, and then as I say, we wanted a community. Were we looking for a community of color?
Yeah, we were actually.
This producer?
We were interested in both having, we wanted to have an urban ag program. And there was one in Portland that were pursuing Village Gardens. And we spent a little time with them, but it was actually after we had met Dory and been filming at Urban Tilth. But I didn't originally think about Richmond, California. I was looking for, I knew that Oakland is a center of urban ag. So I thought, we'll find this program. There's a very well-known group called City Slickers in Oakland. And they turned out to be very hard and inaccessible and not really excited. And then I found out about Doria, interviewed her, and I thought, an urban ag program in Richmond, California. All I could think about Richmond was oil refinery and big tanks on the hills and pollution. So I asked Doria, well, isn't it kind of contaminated to be growing gardens in Richmond? And she said, we get our soil tested all the time, and we're very careful about that. And she was so inspiring. And then every interview we had with her just was more and more inspiring. So we decided this is the urban ag program we're going to focus on. But one reason why we came down to the Bay Area is we really wanted to show people of color. We didn't want to just have a white urban ag program, like, of which there's many in Portland. Village Gardens is the one program in Portland that does actually have a lot of people of color involved in it. It's in St. John's, and you know, it's kind of the edge of North Portland, and they are co-sponsoring our screening at the Hollywood Theater next week, and Brad from Village Gardens will be at the screening, and he'll give a little bit of a description of what they're doing.
When you make a film, it's like you sort of, it's either gift, you find these wonderful people that have, you know, that have a depth to them. We look for depth, and it was like Doria was a gift, and Will. I mean, they all were like there, so it wasn't like we're going to make a strong woman film. It just happened to be.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, you really see that you captured with the people you ended up with. You did capture such a sense of the area where they are and the history of their families and their communities. And so they're great representatives for a documentary. You know, not everybody wants to be filmed. Not everybody wants to talk on camera, even though they know they're doing great work. Mm-hmm. And in the case in Richmond, it looks like there's a young Doria coming up, Tanya Polito.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So
yes.
Another strong woman of color really coming up and embracing this this local, healthy eating, grow it yourself, cook it yourself lifestyle.
Well, the other thing was she was, you know, she thought of herself as one of the bad kids. She was really bad. She was terrible education. She was very girly girl is what she called herself. She was this glamorous, beautiful, young Mexican-American woman. And she just got a degree from UC Berkeley. And she's just transformed so much with the support and the love and the program there. And we saw that with Sherman too. It's like, who's an African American young man who's building a forest in the flatlands.
Edible forest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pretty miraculous. And the stuff they're taking on isn't real small. They really are trying to get the community. There's so much community involvement of people coming, and they take care of the gardens.
Mm-hmm. Actually, after there was a big fire in the Richmond refinery in 2012, which we happened to be in Richmond when it happened, and so it changed the course of the movie dramatically. And we filmed for a week after the fire, and we were talking with Tanya about the lessons that they learned from the fire, and she said, well, if I were to do it again, I would have gotten around. There was a community meeting the night after the fire. I would have gone and gotten everybody's contact information, which I didn't do. And it was just an opportunity that I lost for community building. And it was interesting to watch this young woman like being so self-critical in a very constructive way and understanding how you do community organizing.
And learning.
And we watched her learning over like the next 4 years. It's been, and she's
wonderful now. She's graduated from UC Berkeley, and she's got a couple different jobs in Richmond, and she's being a community organizer.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. And, it, you know, they some of the young people in the Richmond community also talked about, you know, if you just watch the news, you just hear about us, you think that none of us do anything. We're not going anywhere. We've got nothing going on. But look, we are. And so they really appreciated the opportunity to share their stories and show the positive, empowering, affirmative work that they're doing, which is right in line with everything that we do here at KBOO. So we're going to take another moment to hear about how very, very easy it is to donate to KBOO and become a member, and how it will change your life and give you a happy tummy and everything. So Barbara and Elaine, I'm very sad that we have to wrap up in a few minutes. So I would love to hear about where people can see the film. I understand they can see it very, very soon.
Yes, this Sunday after this, September 25th at 7 o'clock at the Hollywood Theater,
which is like at 43rd and Sandy. We're also taking the movie around the state. So on September 29th, it's playing at the Skylight Theater in Hood River, right in downtown Hood River. On October 6th, it will be at the Bijou Art Theater in Eugene at 7 o'clock. On October 9th, it will be at the Columbian Theater in Astoria, which we're very excited about. There's a really strong community working to sponsor that. And then on October 25th, it will be at the Varsity Theater in Ashland, and on November 17th at the Sandy Public Library in Sandy. And also, we have tickets for as thank you gifts. I don't know exactly how much you have to pledge, but I'm assuming it's something like $60 or $75, and you can get a pair of tickets to the screening of Gaining Ground at the Hollywood Theater this week from Sunday, September 25th.
So that's wonderful, because you're supporting the station, too, and supporting the film and coming out. And y'all will be there, I assume, doing a Q&A?
Yes, we are going to do a Q&A, and Vicki Hurdle will be there, Chris Hurdle will be there, Harry Stalford and Willow Coberly, and Harry McCormick, who has started Oregon Tilth.
If you want to get more information, you can go to our website, which is mediaprojectonline.org. And you can also go to us on Facebook. And I don't actually have, it's facebook.com/gainingground MP or something like that.
There's a dot, gainground.mp.
Okay. But if you just, actually, if you go to mediaprojectonline.org, you can click on our Facebook and you can like us. And you can also go to our Facebook event and sign up. And tickets are advanced tickets are on sale right now at the Hollywood Theater website. And again, there's a link to that on our website and on our Facebook page.
Great. So I want to thank you all so much for coming. Would you tell us a little bit about the music that we're going to hear at the end of the show?
This music was written by a Berkeley composer. His name is Ashel Eldridge, a friend of Doria Robinson's. We were looking for music that had the same beat as Cupid Shuffle, which we couldn't get the rights for less than $17,000. So we needed to have some music that fit the sequence, which was filmed where the kids were dancing to it. So Ashel created this incredible song called Green to Block, and it's really about urban tilth, and it was actually much more effective than if we'd used Cupid Shuffle.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for coming to talk to me on Bread and Roses tonight. Have a good night, everyone.
If you grow it, they gon' eat it. Yeah. Watch it. Watch it, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it, watch it, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it, watch it, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Till the earth and drop a seed down. Grow your own and tell me how you feel now. Till the earth and drop a seed down. Grow your own and tell me how you feel now. All in my pocket, at harvest time, gon' clock it. No GMOs, no high fructose, no Cheetos going in my rocket. Yeah, living out of they system. Illness come, we resist them. No shots of flu, who they talking to? Like they know I grow my prescriptions. More grain for the team, better grow that. No food on the block, better grow that. Cops lock, try to stop that, know that. Do good for the hood, don't go back to the prison where they hit them like low jack. In the middle of the street where we plant that. Medicine be the light like Edison. No insulin, that's the evidence. Green the block, green the block, green the block, green. Green the block, green the block, green the block, green. Green the block, green the block, green the block, green. Green the block, green the block, green, green. Till the earth and drop a seed down. Grow your own.
sit down, grow your own, and tell me how you feel now. Forget the loss of parking spots and backyards, we hack hard. The soil is the soul, and this garden's where I meet God. This neighbor is my lover, the earth is my cover. Plant the justice with fat beats, drop the seeds till we crack streets. From interlocks to parking spots and backyards, we hack hard. The soil is the soul, and this garden's where I meet God. This neighbor is my lover, the earth is my cover. Plant the justice with fat beats, drop the seeds till we crack streets. Watch it grow, watch it grow, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it grow, watch it grow, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it grow, watch it grow, watch it grow, yeah. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. Until the earth, and drop a seed down. Grow your own, and tell me how you feel.